Hey everyone, it's Nellie here. How are you doing? I am just dropping in to remind you about our live show coming up in Melbourne for Ida Hobbit Day. Some of you came last year. We had a ball with Reuben Kay live in conversation at Comedy Republic, and this year is going to be just as fun. We're mixing it up and we're going to do story time. We're going to have stories from the LGBTIQA plus community. All of our cast will be over 40, and there will be a focus on love, on lust, on joy, on growth, on triumph, on all the good things. The lineup is amazing. Oh my God, the lineup. I mean, I will be hosting, obviously. We'll have Scott Brennan telling a story. We'll have the wonderful Geraldine Hickey. Dr. Kwa E. Ling is going to come down from Sydney and tell a story. Tina Del Twist will sing for us. And we have a very, very, very special surprise guest whose job, look, their job's so important, I'm actually not allowed to advertise their involvement, but let's just say they've got a long title, like longer than my CV. Watch this space. All the cast are funny. Ida Hobbit is a day to celebrate LGBTIQA plus rights, but I think part of that is celebrating our right to love. So this event is going to be all about joy. Do you need some bloody good news for once? Because I sure as shit know that I do. Everyone's welcome, including allies. So go to dearnellypodcast.com and you can follow the links to live shows, or obviously there's a link in the show notes every week, or you can go to comedyrepublic.com.au, which is where the event will be held. Now, this podcast was recorded in the council area known as Darabin in Melbourne. I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land, the Wurundjeri people, and their elders past, present, and emerging. Last but not least, this is a sex, dating, and relationships podcast for adults. If you don't like swearing, I tell you what, it's really going to give you the shit. So off you fuck.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Dear Nellie, I could use some advice, dear Nelly. Yes, yeah, some help would be nice, dear Nelly. I'm eager to hear your point of view, dear Nelly. There's a lot to explore, dear Nelly. When you're 40 or more, dear Nelly. So I'm hoping we can talk it through.
Welcome to Dear Nellie, Sex, Relationships and Dating from the Other Side of 40. And we are back for Sloppy Seconds with the one and only Chris Ryan, comedian extraordinaire. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Nellie. How are you?
Well, I can't tell you how excited I am to get a full update from you.
I mean, it may not be as exciting as you think it is.
Oh, well, let's do a quick recap because you, your first episode, well, it was very moving, shall we say. You had the sads. Where were we at then?
Oh, man, we'd just broken up with this lovely man in Perth who I'd been seeing for several months. And it was like one of those Romeo and Juliet situations where we couldn't be together, you know?
Yeah.
And it didn't mean that we didn't love each other. It just meant we couldn't be together, which made it worse, you know?
Yeah. So what I'm going to do is do a better recap, okay? Forgive me, but that was very blunt.
No, go ahead.
So you were in a very long-term relationship, and then that ended in what, your late 40s? Very long-term, nearly three decades. And then eventually you summon up the courage and think, I'm getting back on the horse. And like all of us, that is terrifying. And you go back into the dating pool. You accidentally leave your apps open when you're traveling to Perth for work and meet, you know, I don't know if we'd say love of your life, but you meet someone very, very special.
Yep.
But when we recorded the last episode, that had been called off because the long distance thing was just shitballs.
Yep, that's a good summary. Yeah.
And you were so heartbroken and that was terrible for you, but also, you know, I think anyone going back into dating, I don't know, I reckon heartbreak when you've come out of a long thing and you've invested in the hope again is maybe even worse.
Ugh.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a whole lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
A lot. And it is very hard to find a compatible person that you're, you know, deeply connected to and want to be happy, you know, and it's very hard to switch that off just because pragmatically it doesn't work.
And he was there, but in fucking Perth.
I know. Bloody
hell. So now flash forward however many months I catch up with you at a gig, it's back on.
It's back on.
What's going on?
I know. It's crazy, isn't it? So he's still in Perth.
Yeah.
And I'm still on the East Coast, you know, in Canberra. And essentially, I think with time apart, probably a couple of months apart or so, we came to realise that this was something we didn't want to let go. And I think, well, I mean, it's still a long journey ahead, okay? You know, as it is at our age when there are complications and children and, you know, careers and things to consider. So,
and houses and fucking superannuation and you're not 20 years old anymore.
That's right. There's a lot of considerations when you're at our age with relationships and children, you know, and so and even, you know, things, the formal steps of, you know, ending one relationship and moving on into the next part of your life. That's a very difficult thing for, as you would well know.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I don't, without wishing to, you know, say we're sailing into the sunset or anything, we're certainly intentionally aiming within reason to be together.
Chris, you're intentionally recoupling.
Oh, right. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, well, we're definitely being very purposeful and deliberate and careful. And
I love it.
And we very, very much want this to work out. It's extremely difficult.
Yeah, I've no doubt. The logistics sound like a nightmare, but there's something, it's not often, you know, I don't often give myself permission to go into that kind of get carried away with the fairies romantic space.
Yeah, see, you know that I did.
And I know that you do. And, but I actually, that's one of the things that I love about our friendship, because I think you actually help me move a bit toward there. And I hope maybe I help you move a bit toward cool your jets, mate.
Yeah, cool your jets is a very good term that I need to remember. In fact, gosh, you know what's funny that you say that? And this is sort of off the track a little bit, but the only other time anyone has ever said to me, cool your jets, was comedian Sam Campbell.
Yeah.
He did a Canberra Comedy Festival show probably back in about 2012 or 13, and I'd never seen him perform before. And I was blown away by how funny he was. And I went up to him like starstruck as an unknown, you know, middle-aged woman that did comedy, but he didn't know that. I just, out of nowhere in the foyer of the Canberra Theatre Courtyard Studio, I went up to him and I just went, oh, my God, that was so funny.
Yeah.
And I went on for so long, he was extremely uncomfortable and he just went, cool your jets, lady. And you know what? I reminded him of that. He went, oh, sorry about that. I said, no, it was absolutely appropriate. I definitely needed to cool my jets.
I tell you what, if you ever see me perform and then come up after and go on and on, don't cool your fucking jets.
No, keep going. Heat them up. Yeah, put more petrol in them.
Stand there and take it for as long as you're prepared to give it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, how, so I want to know. So My impression, correct me if I'm wrong, you both decided for pragmatic reasons. You know, you're on the East Coast, he's in Perth, this long distance thing, all the yearning, it's too much. And then, you know, sitting and waiting, that's the thing that I took from the episode, the waiting for the message and the waiting for the next time I
but
see
also,
you.
It was essentially the lack of hope, right?
Yes.
So fundamentally, it was the thing that ended it was that there was no hope of a future where we would one day be together. There was no promise of that.
No.
There was none. And it was
so
just
what
like,
changed?
Well, I hate preempting this, Nelly. But, you know, he, you know, has decided he, you know, will probably try his very, very best to come over here and join me. And that's going to be very difficult. There will be a lot of steps for that. And that's going to, that, there will be pros and cons for that for him.
Yeah.
For me, of course, it's all upside. But yeah, that's going to be difficult. So I want to temper it by saying, you know, he's going to try and there's still a lot of things that need to be considered. But yeah, our plan is to be together over here. And that's something that I'm really happy about.
Well, look, and look, I'm really conscious, like I genuinely don't want to invade too far into your or his privacy. But I'm imagining, and just tell me if I'm in the ballpark, I'm imagining that you two both, because I know you had the, I know certainly from your side, you had that struggle of do we stay in touch? Like, do we contact each other? Is it just prolonging agony? Can we even be friends? All that stuff.
Oh yeah, there was, we weren't going to be friends. I got heaps of friends. I didn't
exactly.
need another one.
Exactly.
Certainly not one that was breaking my heart.
Did we get to the point where you both basically say, and really when I say both, I want to know his side. Did you get to the point where you went, but you are like, if you're not my person, you're my person now. Like some, is there a big kind of, I just can't quit you, Chris.
No, it was absolutely, a case of we couldn't live without each other.
Oh, God. Oh, come on. Give me a little bit of something. Give me some sugar.
Well, it's hard because he's got family, you know.
I know.
And it's hard. It's going to be a very difficult thing. So I don't want to, you know, make light of it because it's not my journey. It's his. And I am very grateful that he even thinks
considers
he can do
it.
And I want, I so much want it to happen, but I want it to be good for everyone because I can't be happy unless he's happy. You know what I mean?
100%.
And that, and he can't be happy unless he knows he's doing the right thing. And that's going to be hard. You know,
are you feeling hopeful?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I am more and more every day. But I am coming to realize, God forbid, with maturity, that, you know, there are, that as we get older, it's not, it ain't simple. When you've got kids.
No. Yeah.
And when you've had a life with someone and you need to extract yourself from that life, that's a complication that many people, I reckon, Nelly, and you'd know this better than me, I reckon many people our age just go, nah, fuck it, too hard. Fuck
Oh,
it,
I'll
just be alone. Or nah, let that go, that's ridiculous.
Or,
you know,
Chris,
or even just wouldn't connect with someone from a different state.
Or I'll just stay. I'll just stay in a relationship that I know I don't want to be in or they don't want to be in.
Yeah.
That is a huge part of it. I think it's the logistics. I had a friend confess to me, and they won't mind me saying, and I won't obviously say who it was, who would probably like to leave a relationship, just go, honestly, I can't face the admin. You know, like
I
it'd
think
have
there's a
to
lot
be
of people.
Worse than this for me to have to face it. I'm not happy, but I'm not unhappy enough.
You know, isn't that, that is so true, and there would be so many people in that. That would be the majority of relationships, I would even hazard a guess.
And then there's this element of, okay, I'm back out in the wild. You go in a few times, you might get your heart broken or you face these logistics. You could even be in the same state where you go, our kids don't like each other.
Oh, no.
Do you know what I mean? Like there's
Oh,
so
dear.
many, or whose house do we live in? Do I give up my house that I've worked so hard for or whatever it is?
Yeah, it is very hard. You know what, though? Like, I believe compromise is the key to any successful relationship.
Are you good at that?
In the past, I probably learnt it, you know.
Yeah.
But I know, like, I reckon I am pretty good at it. I think, to a point, I'm pretty strong-willed, and I'm not a pushover, and I don't sacrifice. I'm not a martyr, or I don't sacrifice myself. I'm just not that kind of person. Never have been. But I think I have a lot of young friends in comedy, as you would too, and certainly, in the broader community. I think young people, because life is so hard financially, and because it is hard, they'll never probably own a home. It is, they have to work long hours. They have to work multiple jobs. If they want a career in the arts, God help them, they're going to suffer financially. I think it's really hard for them to compromise in relationship.
Oh, that's
I
interesting.
know a lot of women in the 30s who simply won't compromise and would rather be single and have a kid by themselves, or no kids at all, than make the compromises that perhaps we have in our lives to have relationship and have family. And I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm
No,
just saying it's an observation that I have seen.
I think you would agree with, I think we'd be in agreement that I actually honor that choice, and I particularly honor it at our age. Like, I've got friends who have gone, I've worked too fucking hard to get myself into a position where I'm not dependent on anybody, where I'm stable, where I feel good about myself. Like, even put money aside, I don't want my worth linked to another person. Like, a mate of mine said to me recently, I don't want to do the wife's work. And she didn't just mean housework. She meant the emotional labor and all
Heavy
that kind
lifting.
of stuff. And she's just like, I'm out. I'm like, well, fair enough. Like, you, as long as you make that call from a place of, for want of a better word, empowerment, like, make it as a real choice and not a, I'm not good enough,
Oh,
then good on you. Make
yeah,
that choice. I
absolutely.
respect it.
Oh, I do too. I think know thyself is like
Correct.
such an important thing. And I think I'm reaching a part of my life where I know myself better.
Yeah, I reckon.
I reckon I'm knowing myself better, and I am definitely trying harder to do better for those around me as much as I can.
Oh, you
And
sweet thing.
but I'm not, I'm not terrific at it. It doesn't come naturally for me to put others before me. It's just never been my personality.
You're learning.
I'm learning. And
Yeah,
when you
good.
care deeply about, like, your family, like my kids, and my partner, I want to keep them in my life,
Yeah,
so I'm going to do
exactly.
what I can to keep them happy.
Yeah, what needs to be done? Am I prepared to do it? If I'm prepared to do it, then do it. Let's not talk about it. Let's do it.
Yeah, that's it. And also that whole idea of when someone apologizes, or when I apologize, actually what I say to myself is just do better. And
Yeah,
if someone
exactly.
apologizes to me for something shit they've done, I'm like, it's okay, but like, do better.
Yeah, 100%.
Just
What are you
do
doing
better.
next?
Because
What's your next
it's
move?
actions, it ain't words. The older I get, the more I fundamentally believe that I don't give a shit what anyone says. Show me the money, as it were. Not about money, but you know what I mean. Just do it, right?
Like, for real, Chris, our job essentially is to be professionally charming. You know what I mean? Like, words, yes, I understand the power of words, but they are not backed up by action. Like, I love a compliment, but if it's not backed up by actions, like, yeah, we're
Absolutely.
too old for that shit.
Absolutely. And also, at our age, if we don't know what our schema is, or what our triggers are, and what we're likely to default to, we should fucking start, get our skates on and figure that out.
Work
Because
it out.
yeah, and the other person in the relationship has to do that too. And when you get called out, or you call
Cop it.
someone out, especially if you're in a loving, committed, respectful relationship with that person, have a listen to what they're fucking saying.
Oh my
Have a
God.
fucking listen, because they're not saying it for fun.
Sit with it. Sit with it. And I think this is so fascinating. Like, obviously, you and I are both experiencing this in real time, right? Because I think in long-term relationships, you're not always suspended at the age that it started, but there is a risk of that you don't sort of evolve emotionally. Whereas starting again at this age, I have found both beautiful and very challenging to go, you got to push back against your own shit. So to give you an example, I am very prone to overreading other people's emotions.
Oh, man. Anxious attachment?
Oh, mate.
That's me.
Know it.
That's me, yeah. Fam.
Maybe a little bit of PTSD. Who knows? Right? But if there's a shift in the room, and that could be an audience.
Yep.
Or it could be me and my two kids, or it could be 12 people at a dinner party. If someone fucking looks sideways.
Yeah, or tone of voice changes.
Tone of voice change. I'm like, oh.
Oh, shit. They're yelling.
Right? Yeah. What's going on? Yeah. Now, that can be really helpful. It can also be a real hindrance. And I have noticed, and I think because, and this is, you know, cheesy but lovely, because I am in what I think is one of the healthiest relationships I've been in now with Linda, and I do that with her, but I notice, I'm like, hang on. Are you projecting? Are you overreading? Are you like fucking?
I know.
Pull your head in, Thomas.
I know. I know, right?
Right?
Right. And I
no
do
one
that
wants
too.
To be told how they feel all the time.
I know.
I mean, I'm being hard on myself, I know. But I'm just aware that I have that tendency.
Me too. And I think it's really hard to find the line.
It is.
Of am I being that thing I am sometimes, or is this a fair point?
Correct.
and also, am I asking too much? Also, am I being negative? Am I doing those things? You know, there's so many things, and you can't be sweetness and light all the time. You
no,
just
you can't. No.
One thing I know there's a part of this podcast where I get to ask you a question.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this it or
yeah,
not?
Yeah, go for it.
I guess I wanted to ask you, like, when, I don't know if you feel this, now that you've said you do have a bit of anxious attachment, I am prone to wanting my partner to make me feel better.
Yeah.
When I'm feeling anxious.
Yeah.
Instead of dealing with that myself as I should.
Yeah.
And there are times when I will say something I shouldn't say. That's hurtful or unhelpful or just negative. Instead of just shutting the fuck up and going for a walk and letting it pass.
Yeah, I get
it. Do you have a circuit breaker or something you can do that helps you not say something you'll regret or just not behave in the way that you don't like to behave?
Yeah, so I reckon you and I are two sides of the same coin. The attachment is disordered or anxious or whatever word you want to call it. But my pathology, if we want to go that way, is not that. It's the opposite. It's to shut down and go, I don't need anything. Well, I didn't even fucking ask you. What are you talking about? Like, leave me alone.
Oh, wow. Okay, avoidant.
Avoidant, right?
Oh,
which
God.
Is exactly the same thing. In another form.
In another form, yeah.
So what I'm really challenging myself to do, and this is so wanky, but it's true, I have, as you know, and I think I've said this on the podcast, I started somatic therapy a couple of years ago.
Is this the stretching of the hip flexors or something?
No, that's the shit on Instagram.
I keep thinking to do that and I never do it.
That's yoga, doll. I'm never doing that shit. No, I probably should. No, it is, I mean, oh God, poor somatic therapist listening will be raging at this description, but the way that I think of it is it takes someone who lives in their head, i.e. you and I, into the body.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
What you'll hear constantly from my therapist in the session with me is, where are you feeling that in your body?
Oh, yeah, hate that. It's like, shut up, I'm just sad.
Oh,
you
it's
know?
Outrageous. But what it's helped me do is when I start feel like I actually feel that now, I can tell that I'm withdrawing or I know that I am dissociating, right? So
okay.
I can, after a couple of years of it, I know I'm doing it at least, which you need to know.
Yep.
Like I didn't even know. I thought I was just coping.
Yeah.
Because dissociation is very calm.
Yes.
Right? So
everyone looks in control when they're dissociated.
I'm good at everything.
Yeah.
Rather than going, oh, you checked out, mate.
Oh, okay, right.
Now I know where in my body how that'll feel. So if, for example, I don't know, my right shoulder gets tight, I go, oh, check in. Are you withdrawing? Are you dissociating?
Oh,
Are you
wow.
da da? And I challenge, and it fucking kills
That's
me, Chris.
amazing.
But I challenge myself to go, say in the case of an intimate relationship, to go, you go and talk to Linda,
Okay.
right? Do not sit in your
Don't
room
sit
and go,
on it.
everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah, right.
Even if you don't know what to say or what's happening, like actually face it.
Ah, right.
And it's
See, my
hard but
problem is
working.
I face it too soon. I need
I
I
get
need to
that.
go away and face it myself and calm the fuck down and then face it
Then
properly.
do that. I think you need to
Yeah.
work out what your tells are. Like, how will you
Oh,
know?
heaviness in the chest, adrenaline.
Okay, then there you go. So the next
Fight.
time
Yeah.
that happens, don't call anybody.
Yeah, right. Throw the phone in the pool.
Don't message anybody. Give yourself a rule. And I mean, like, write it down. Remember we discussed this before, like my little thing next to my computer, I will
Yes.
create no pain for myself.
Yes.
Right? So look at
Yeah.
that and then go, how long do I need?
Yeah.
Is it 30 minutes? Is it 2 hours? Is it whatever? And then come back to it.
Yeah, right.
Does that make sense?
That does make a lot of sense. It's really hard in the moment, but
It's
yes,
so hard.
in the moment.
It feels safe to me to go, I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you. That's what feels safe. How have I managed to get through the things I've been through in life and get to this age? That's how. But
Yeah.
it's not serving me anymore.
Yeah, that's the thing. Learning that. Because I think for very many decades, I just thought, oh, well, this is just what I am, you know.
Yeah.
People go, it's very special. I'm just instinctive like that. And it's like, no, you're not. You're fucking dumb. You know? I thought I was a genius being, oh, I'm just intuitive, you know. I just got to say, right, I'm
100%.
really honest and intuitive. No, you're not. You're obnoxious. You don't self-regulate and you don't have much self-awareness at all. That's actually what
I
I've come
love
to
you so much.
realize.
Do you know how many times in interviews and conversations I've said, you know, when people go, why do you think you're like a good performer or whatever? I'm like, oh, because I can read the room. And again, looking back at it now, I think so obnoxious. What I should have said is, I have disordered attachment and I'm anxious. So, you know, like, I know who's going to heckle the minute I walk into the room. And I really do. And I bet you do too. Like, I know it has been an upside in some ways because I have been able to anticipate
Right.
threat and I've usually been correct. But the problem with that is that that's your focus. Like, are you actually reading for, are you scanning for the people that love you? Are you listening to the compliments?
Oh,
Are
man.
you taking on the feedback? I mean, you are excruciatingly uncomfortable with compliments.
No, I love them. They're great.
Oh, bullshit.
No, they're all right. But I don't know if I've banged on about this, and if I have, I'm sorry. But when you say, scan the room for, whatever it was, positive thing you said. Once I was seeing a psych who told me to give the audience kind eyes, not judging eyes. And she said,
Interesting.
she said, public speaking is one of the hardest things to do. Why would you cut yourself off at the knees before you got to the lectern? And,
Hundred percent.
and I was like, fuck. And also another friend of mine, the lovely Billy Styles, who's hilarious, he's like, decide before you go on that they love you and that you love them.
Yes.
And he really, and he looks like a bogan because he grew up a bogan from the western suburbs of Melbourne, or I don't know. And he is the biggest philosopher, and he's done so much reading and work on himself. He's amazing. And genuinely, I believe it's true. And
And do you
if
know what,
you,
Chris?
what?
You can go into a date with exactly the same point of view.
Oh,
Are
yeah.
you going to go into that date thinking, in our terms, they're going to heckle me? I have to win them over. They're hostile. They probably won't like me. Or are you going to go in going, oh, hi, I've got
We're going to
soft
have
eyes and
fun.
I'm open.
Yeah,
We're going to
true.
have
It
fun.
helps. We're going to have a good time. Don't worry about it. I got you.
Whatever happens, I got it. It's okay. I'm comfortable. I
I
mean,
know.
even if you're anxious, that's okay. You can still be comfortable being there.
Yeah, it's true. Decide before you go on
Decide before you go on.
that it's going to be good.
Oh, I love that. I actually did a gig recently, and this I think translates into the date space. You know, when you see a performer who does walk out combative, and it really does alienate the audience.
I know.
There's something to be said for just walking out going, on some level, I love you.
Oh, and also, you know what else is important? And I'll say this because this recently I heard an MC. It was clear they didn't love themselves.
100%.
Okay, so what happens is that translates into them slagging off the room,
That's right.
them slagging off the audience for being here on a night when the room's not full, you know, and it's just like sets a really bad tone.
You
Even if
don't
it's
get it.
not clear like that,
Yeah.
it's the subtle message
I
that's being
totally
sent.
agree.
And it's like, dude, love yourself and love this room and be grateful for all of this. Don't talk it down.
Imagine if you and I sat on a date and I said, oh, why are you free on a Wednesday night? Like,
I know.
why did you reply to my message so quickly? Haven't
Yeah,
you got
what's
any
wrong
other
with? I mean,
options?
that was high school for me. If anyone liked me back, I'd
Yeah.
stop liking them.
Yeah. But
I
if
was
you're
like, what's wrong with them?
50
I know. It's
and you're
not.
looking for someone who's hostile, stop dating and get
Right.
into therapy.
So true, Nellie. Preach.
Right? You should be
Yeah.
looking for someone who looks at you like you're fucking magic.
100%. I feel like I should do what the young people did at this gig I was at the other night at the Trocadero room. It's this new room in Sydney. It's great. This girl, I said something. I think it was something like, never in human history have we got more attention for being less impressive.
Yeah.
And this spectacular young person in the front row just went
Yeah.
and just started clicking. I was like, fuck, we're clicking, are we? All right.
Oh yeah. Well, that's both a drag thing and a spoken word thing, right? It's like,
Funny
I know. It's so gorgeous. I
as.
love
Kind
that.
of
Oh
funny.
my God, Chris Ryan, you're cool. You're cool.
I'm
Hey,
an
I'm going, well,
imposter.
are you finished with your question to me or can I move
Yeah,
us on?
I think that was good.
So in our armchair expert section, I have a meme from Instagram. Let me see. I don't think I can attribute it, but I'll try and find it and put it in the show notes. He spoke to me. So it's a picture of two women. The caption is me and my bestie. One of them saying, I miss him. And the other one screaming in her face, block him. And the
So
reason
true.
I wanted to bring this up with you is because I think it's a really tricky position to be in as a friend if you can see the writing on the wall for someone or if you're concerned, right? How do you handle that situation? Like if you saw me
Oh
dating
man.
someone and you thought, well, would you front foot it? What would you do?
Mate, it's very hard for me not to say something
Yes.
in any circumstance.
Yeah. How does that go?
Not well.
Yeah.
I can lose people from what I have to
I
say.
have.
But it is difficult when it's been a long-term relationship. Like
Yes,
I
yes.
have, you know, we all have friends that are in long relationships, and I, you know, and you know exactly what's going on because they've told you, and they know you know, and yet you're all supposed to sit there just being like, cool, so
Pretending.
how's your partner?
Or even with the partner.
Yeah. And it's just like, oh, at what point did you give up on your life
Yeah.
and decide that you weren't worth being happy? You know, like, who told you that this was how you're supposed to live? And I hate it when it comes back to finances.
Oh, God,
I really
yeah.
hate that.
Yeah. I
I've got a
can't
lot of
afford to
women
leave. Yeah.
feel that
Yeah.
way. I'm sure even a lot of men probably feel that way, to be
Yeah.
honest.
Of course.
Because there's, you know, there's different challenges in those two things usually,
It
but
costs a lot of money to get divorced. Right, because on a base level for most people for a start, it's two houses. So if you've had two incomes or two people sharing bills, rent, mortgage, and now you don't, let alone the costs of the actual divorce,
Yeah, I know.
it's a
So
lot.
yeah, I tend to look, if I figure that there's no point, like I've
Yeah.
known them long enough and they're
Yeah.
just in this sustained animation, what is it called? Suspended animation.
Yeah,
They're
yeah,
going through their
yeah.
lives like a
Yeah.
ghost. Then I can recognize there's no point saying anything. I'll ask them questions about how's it going? Have you ever thought of saying this or doing that? Or you know, but when it's a new thing, and if there's some serious red flags, I'll ask some serious questions and make it uncomfortable.
Can I just go back to the long-term thing? I think one thing, and I genuinely want to know what you think about this. I have said on occasion, and it has to be pretty extreme for me to say this, like generally you don't get involved in other people's shit.
Yeah.
But on occasion I have kind of gone, I totally respect your decision to stay, or a variation of this. I respect your decision to stay, but I can't keep hearing about it. Right? If they are continually coming back going, and he did this, or she did this, and they did this, and then anytime you go, have you ever thought about another, and they start defending, then you're like, how many years can we like keep going with this?
Because you're
actually drawing me into a cycle where you get to say what's wrong. I then join you and you defend.
I totally agree with you. I have, in fact, written a bit in my new show about I get very defensive when my friends tell me about something shit someone has done to them. And it's worse when they then defend that shit person saying, it's just what they're like.
In fact, they might even be setting it up to do that.
Yeah.
This is a dynamic that I have seen. And it could be friendships, family, romantic relationships. Mm. So I come to you and go, oh, Chris, my cousin, you know, at Christmas time called me a fat pig.
Mm.
And you go, oh, Nelly, maybe think about not going to Christmas next time. And I go, oh, no, he didn't mean it, Chris. Like, that's just how we joke. And fucking round and round we go. It's like there's a point at which you go, no.
Absolutely not. No, never. I just wouldn't. I would just be like, hang on a second.
Nah.
Yeah, I don't have time to waste.
We can't do it.
You obviously are chill with it. Don't tell me you've got a problem with it.
Now, new relationships, let's say you saw me again, just so we don't drag anyone else into it. Let's say you see me with someone new and you think, oh, I see some red flags. Mm. Would you tell me?
Oh, shit. Yes, probably.
And have you done that, and how did it go?
I wouldn't tell you. I would ask some questions.
Like what?
I've learnt, I would ask around the behaviour. For example, let's say, oh, I don't know, this is really base and it never really happens, but if they were deeply flirting.
With someone else.
With someone else in your presence.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I witnessed it.
Yes. Yes.
I would definitely tell you. I would say, hey, what's the relationship between so-and-so and so-and-so?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just that I saw this behavior and it just made me feel uncomfortable and I just wondered if you knew about it.
Perfect. I would go in that same situation. Have you guys got an open relationship? I didn't know that. I would. And then if they go, no, go, oh, sorry, I've misunderstood.
Yeah.
Yeah, so ask questions. What if, let's play this game through because I think it's
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Important for like a lot of listeners ask about this stuff. If I saw you with someone and they were negging you, I reckon I'd say, Chris, I didn't like, let's just pick your name, Jerry.
Mm.
I didn't like how Jerry spoke to you. Like, how do you feel about his sense of humor?
Poor. See, I reckon that is one of the ways to make someone go on the defensive.
You'd fight with me.
Mm.
Yeah, okay. How would you do it?
I reckon, I think what all the psychs say, and I'm not good at this, obviously.
No, tell me.
Is you have to use I statements.
Yeah. I felt uncomfortable when Jerry was making fun of you.
Say this.
Yeah.
It made me feel like it was disrespectful. Like I felt there was a level of respect lacking.
Yeah.
And I would be really hurt by that.
Yeah.
How are you, darling, with that? How does that sit with you?
Can I be totally honest with you? I would have gone, Jerry, shut the fuck up. But anyway.
Well, to be honest with you, I definitely would have told him to shut the fuck up.
Correct.
I remember once a guy didn't think I was funny, right? He was a friend of a friend. And
what?
I know, how dare he?
Come on.
He's not alive anymore. No, I'm kidding. And he just sort of talked over the top of me, and then he would tell some lame ass things, and I had a go at him.
Mm.
It wasn't successful, but I sometimes you just got to get shit off your liver, don't you?
Sometimes you just got to have a crack.
I know. I think, and you know, it's funny, Nelly, that we're talking about it, because seriously, my show I'm talking about, I am 99% reaction.
Right.
I will react when I shouldn't react, right? And so I will almost always call the person out, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm saying all this nice stuff to you.
Yeah.
Because in a perfect world, I think that's how I should say it. Do the I statements, ask questions, be kind. Yeah. But what happens in reality is quite a different thing. I am vicious and direct, impulsive, aggressive, and scary.
I will accept what you're saying, except that I will say that is not my experience of you. Mm. I'm sure it's other people's experience. I do prefer a direct person, though, because going back to the me scanning the room constantly, if I actually feel hostility, but you're smiling at me, I will unravel.
Can I tell you again, I have a bit about, is someone a contrarian or an asshole?
Yeah, just
and
say
I'm,
it.
I'm talking about me.
Yeah.
Because if I meet someone and they're pretending to be fine, I don't feel safe.
Me
I
want
to
either.
Know all the ways you're miserable or I won't relax.
100%.
And also, can you use the C-bomb on this?
Yes.
So if I meet someone proper, I'll tend to overuse the word cunt.
Yeah.
Same. Right? It's like, it's so counterintuitive.
No,
like,
I get it.
I hate being underestimated too.
Yeah, I
it's
get
like,
it.
I don't
I
need
it.
To swear. I just need to know if you need me not to.
Yeah, exactly. Are you trying to control me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you are, watch me buck.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah. I'll throw down. It's terrible.
100. I like it's, direct.
I like I'm direct too.
I'm going to give a tip just for listeners, and you can also take or leave it, but you know I've done a lot of work in the family violence space, and those conversations are really hard to have. Right. And one of the things that I say, like, I won't go into the whole thing, but there's a few levels. I used to be like straight in combative. So if someone said something that was offensive, misogynist, you know, promoted violence, whatever, straight in, let's fight, I can do this.
Yep.
But I've realized it doesn't work. Right. And the research is very clear it doesn't work. So I think there's a few different levels. I think the most effective and the one that I reckon I would use 70% of the time is, what do you mean? Right? So if you and I were at dinner you had a new boyfriend and he said, oh, well, you know, Chris doesn't put out very much, I'd be like, what do you mean?
And make
like,
him
rather than
it.
Going, mate, don't you dare talk about my friend like that and that's misogynist and da-da-da, I go, what do you mean? And keep doing that.
Mm.
Let him hang himself.
Oh, that's clever. That's clever as.
It's so much more effective.
I'm going to try, because also that's a bit of a stopgap too.
Yeah.
That would make me stop from talking and actually listen.
And
I'd enjoy watching him squirm too.
Best case scenario, they might actually pull themselves up, because sometimes people use humor out of anxiety.
Yeah.
So they may have made a joke that was sort of borderline homophobic or borderline whatever. Yeah. And if you then kind of go, instead of going, you are a homophobe and I will never speak to you again, I find it, and I've applied this now for years, so just go, what do you mean?
Yeah, that's good. That's and very good.
They've got nowhere to go.
Oh, that's so clever. I'm going to have to try and remember that.
We try. I mean, it's not always effective. Mm. There is a time where you need to go, you need to throw an elbow, right? There is a time. Like if I was with you or any friend on a date and someone said, I don't know, she talks too much, or something that I think is overtly like a controlling statement, I would fucking go in then.
Oh, yes, right. Fuck, okay.
You know what I mean? And everyone, you'll have to work out what that is for you. Or occasionally I have to tell her to shut up.
Yeah.
Then I would definitely go in.
Ooh. And what are you prepared for in that circumstance?
I'm prepared for anything in that circumstance.
You're prepared to walk away?
if we're in that situation, I'm prepared to fight with that person. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a common thing.
No.
It's not something I would welcome.
But that's your I've been learning lately about not for me, because I can do this no worries, but other people who are sweet and kind. Yeah. The difference between a request and a boundary.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And a boundary is something you don't need anyone else involved in. It's something you hold for yourself. Yeah. So no one talks to me like that. I don't let people talk to me like that.
Correct.
Whereas asking someone, could you please not speak like that? That's a request. That's not a boundary. There's no consequences, because they'll just refuse, or if they it's their choice to refuse.
Yeah, I don't accept that.
No.
I'm going to correct myself, because I think if someone did say she talks too much, I probably would go, what do you mean? But if they went, I have to tell her to shut up occasionally, I would definitely go in then.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Because to me, that's contempt. Right.
Yeah, agreed.
That's overt. Agreed. I've had to do, and I'm sure you have, very rarely, but I'm thinking of one particular situation where I've had to, with a friend's child actually, say, no one talks to me like that.
Yeah, right.
Right? We can make it right. But if you're going to talk to me like that again, you need to leave my house.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
All right. We can pull it back. And we did actually pull it back. But it's that I have worked so hard to be able to do that, Chris. This does not come naturally to me. Okay. Oh, no, God, no.
Wow. No. Okay.
Definitely raise people pleasing.
Well, I am too, but not that much.
Yeah.
I'm definitely like... quite robust on my
reactive
boundaries.
As you said,
I am reactive. How do you go with mates who have shit people in their lives?
I've touched on this, but I've had some good experiences and some I have lost friends. Obviously I'm very conscious of privacy, but there's been one or two situations where I have felt someone that I love was in unhealthy / toxic / abusive situations, and have tried to engage with that person about it. And we actually have to accept when we're going that this might happen. They have then cut me out of their life.
Oh, fuck.
Because they are not ready to hear it.
Yeah, that's right.
Or they don't want to hear it. I still feel I did the right thing though.
Yeah.
You know, it's sad.
It's sad when someone's not ready to hear a message that's true.
Yeah. And I have, as I'm sure you have, unfortunately had to occasionally cut people out who were harming me.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I think that is, again, that's hard fought for. Because I ate shit for a long time. You know, like that's what an anxiously attached people pleaser will do.
Yeah.
So I don't say it with any joy, but I do say it with an element of pride.
Yeah, good on you.
Because I've had to work hard to do it. What about you?
I remember, I think it's that thing of you want them to see.
Oh, God, please understand.
But they have to be ready to see. And it takes some people more time than you would hope. But I do remember too, when the shoe was on the other foot, when I had undiagnosed postnatal depression.
Yes.
And a friend of mine tried to, maybe not in a delicate way or the right way, but she tried to tell me that she was worried and thought that I might have it. And I shut her down and never spoke to her again, because I wasn't ready to hear it, because I was terrified. Terrified.
Yeah, correct.
I thought, what does that mean? I'll lose the kids. What does that mean? You know?
Yeah, that's right.
And sometimes people just aren't ready to hear it. And I guess I would rather not lose them, you know. I would rather wait around until they're ready. I don't know. Maybe do it more delicately, because they need people like us in their lives when their time comes.
I'm in two minds, honestly, Chris, because I do think so, and I have had situations, and I've certainly had, I hate the word client, but, you know, in previous work, clients where they have then circled back 12 months later, 5 years later, 10 years later, and gone, what you said kept rattling in my head And I needed to, I couldn't hear it then, but I kept coming back to it. So when this situation happened, when it happened again, when it happened again, I think the key is to say to that person, if it, particularly if we're talking about an abusive situation or a toxic or whatever you want to call it, situations, to kind of go, whenever you're ready, I'm here. Like, leave the door open. You know, to kind of go, I'm not going to, like, you can come back. You know, because they will most definitely feel ashamed if they do actually then have that realization, fuck, I've been in an abusive relationship. They will feel ashamed because that's what we do to people who've been in an abusive relationship. So to explicitly say, you come back when you're ready, if you need me. You know, with the mental health stuff, it's probably similar. But, I mean, you and I both know for some people they will never get there. Like, how many people do you look at and you kind of go, how do you not know
that you're depressed? How do you not look in the mirror and go, stuff's not right?
Something's wrong here.
Yeah. I keep getting around the same, you know, like, how do you keep going, dope, and not realize it?
You know when you meet someone who goes, everyone, like, they have conflict with everyone in their life.
Yes.
Or they're constantly getting fired, or they're constantly losing friends, or they're like, everyone loses some friends. Everyone gets fired occasionally, maybe, I don't know, whatever. Yeah. Like, we all have endings. Mm. But when it's like complete chaos all the time and it's never them. But
it's a worry.
Is an element, exactly what you said. They're not ready to face it. They might never be.
Yep. Yep.
Not your job to be, you know, judge, jury, and executioner.
No.
Also not your job to stay in their life, though. I think that's important.
No. Not your job to fix anything either.
Nope.
You've got your own shit to do, you know.
Been there and tried that.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
That's and it might be, I don't know about you, but I certainly, there's at least one relationship I look back at in my very, very younger days. I don't know if I would necessarily call it abusive, but it was certainly on the line.
Right.
And I worked in that area, Chris.
Yeah, see, I know of this situation. Yeah, that's right.
I look at it now from this age and I think, it was very controlling. There was clearly, you know, a whole range of problems going on. But I don't think I would have seen it if someone had said to me, called it that, I would have gone, what are you talking about?
Some people, though, like, I think they tell themselves a story.
Yeah, we all do.
To tolerate whatever relationship they're in, you know? And then, and therefore, they are reluctant to see or agree that they may have been in a relationship that was abusive. That's an interesting dynamic.
I think it's, you don't want to be, and this is why we've got to keep talking about this stuff, you don't want to be that person. The kind of person who would have been in an abusive relationship, which, newsflash, is fucking any of us.
Anyone, yeah.
Anyone. Right? So it's that self-delusion and pride of thinking that would never be me.
Yeah.
You know, and same with postnatal depression. That would I've got my shit together. What are you talking about? I wanted to be a mother. That would never have been me.
Yeah.
No one would ever, like, question my abilities or my stability. Could be anyone at any time.
It could be any of us any time, yeah.
Hi, Nelly. I'm 49 and I've been single for years. I'd really like to meet someone, but I just really don't like the apps. Is it all about the apps these days? And if so, which are the best ones? And how do I use them without it becoming a time-consuming second job? In years gone by, I like to learn more about people by watching them interact with others or hearing about them from friends. And I'm really missing that experience in my life right now. I'd love to know your thoughts. Thanks, Nelly.
Chris, Ryan, can I just say firstly before you react, that this is such an old person thing to say, but I'm going to say it because I really feel it. I'm really missing in real life interactions in general.
Yeah.
Right? So what she's pointing to, that kind of thing of sitting down with someone face to face, like People freak out now if you call.
Oh, so true.
Like, let alone if you go, I want to see you, I want to touch you, I want to bloody hug you, I want to fucking smell you and see how you are. I feel you, girl. I feel it.
Me too. I miss the dinner party.
Oh, I miss
the fucking dinner party with mates. I miss having a Sunday night cook up, whatever, simple, just have people around. I don't want to go out. I don't want the noise and the cost and the parking and the dramas. I want to cook a meal for my mates, and then I want them to cook one for me down the track.
Me too.
Potluck. That's what I miss.
I miss that. And then, I mean, again, now I'm going to get into modernity rage, but the idea of, like, I am that bitch still trying to drag people to do that.
Yeah.
And then there's the WhatsApp group. And then there's the cancellations three days before, and then the hour before, and the it's so frustrating.
Almost as bad as having a show, a comedy festival show, where people literally text you 1 hour before. Oh, I've got two spare tickets. Is there someone you could give me?
Yeah,
and they mean it with all the good intention in the world, but it's like,
no,
burn them.
I'm about to go on
burn
stage.
Them to the ground. I don't care. I never wanted to hear this.
No. You
know, and it's like when people pull out of a commitment and they're like, sorry, I just can't make it today. It's like, I hate you. You know,
and
like,
again, and it's not once. Like, it's multiple times.
It's so hard to find the right people.
But it's not, I don't think it's just that, Chris. I really do think it's something to do with this moment in time. Like, I just think so many, because I reckon I've got pretty good people in my life. I reckon you probably do too. People are, I mean, when I do find the people who are reliable and show up and all that sort of stuff, my God, they've got a strawberry in the phone and that I ask them out all the time. But there's also something, people are so overwhelmed at the moment.
I know, but I know, and that is true, and it isn't fair to blame individuals for a societal and structural problem. I understand that. However, get your shit together.
Yeah, okay.
If you're fucking coming, come. Yeah. Don't take a better offer. Don't get distracted. I'm sick of people making excuses for shit behaviour.
Yeah, gotcha.
And I'm, you know, like, it's hard. I get
this
it.
This is why I need you, Chris, because guess what? I don't fucking cancel.
Neither do I, mate.
And I'm overwhelmed.
Right. Okay. So let's have dinner when I'm in Melbourne.
Correct. I will make you do that. Like, there's sometimes I'm making these excuses and I go, hang on, I'm a bloody single mum with two kids with disabilities running a business. If I say I'm coming to your house for dinner, I fucking come.
Yeah, because you're locked into a schedule.
I'm doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. So,
anyway, let's go back to the caller. 49, single for a long time. Let's start with the question, do you have to do the apps?
No, I don't think you have to. I think, but if you're not going to do the apps, remember, you can't meet them in the workplace.
Yep.
Anymore. That's off the cards. That used to be a big one.
Yeah.
Get out there and volunteer or start taking up courses in things that you're passionate about.
Yep.
Start engaging with friends. Tell friends you're single and you're looking, you know, ask for recommendation. Like, you're going to have to fucking do some work because it doesn't drop in your lap.
Right. So the can I do it differently? I am 100. I couldn't agree with you more. You can do it differently, but you have to do it consciously.
Yeah.
Right? I know this sounds like a weird analogy, but it's like if you're going to go vegan, don't just eat chips.
That's it.
Right? You have to actually look at your dietary requirements. Yes. So go, fuck the apps off. If it's
You don't and like lean it, into who it is that you want to be, right?
Live get into it. Life,
right? Get into that art class or do whatever that thing, go do the horticulture CRT course or whatever it is. Do the thing that you think you want to be that person that's in relationship. Do
so concrete examples, what you've given, I think is right, like CAE course, you know, or some kind of course. If you, like I did one on bloody cake baking so I could learn how to use fondant.
Right.
Right? Whatever. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You could join a sporting club.
Yep.
You could do a book club.
Yes.
You could. You absolutely 100% should tell your friends and workmates that you're single and looking. Expand your pool of friends of friends.
Totally.
Can I tell you something that might make you cry a little bit that just reminded me when you said, you know, go and do stuff.
Yeah.
My teenager the other day showed me something. The gist of it was basically don't chase butterflies. Build a garden that butterflies will come to.
That's
and if
it.
The butterflies don't come, you've still got a beautiful garden.
Oh, my God, goosebumps.
Right?
Goosebumps.
And I thought, this is the perfect advice to give this caller.
Yep.
Because even it, like, let's say you join, you learn a new language and you join the soccer club and you body start doing your, but whatever it is, like
Yeah.
whatever your interests are, even if you don't find someone, you've done all those
You've done
things.
all those things and your life is enriched for it.
Yeah.
And you like yourself better. And that's always a
Yes.
good thing. I do think there is a place for the apps. I mean, to be
Yeah,
honest,
I
that's
like
where I
them.
met my beautiful person.
Yeah, me too.
And it does take persistence. It is like a bit of a job. You have to commit time to it. You have to take it seriously. And you do have to, you know, you have to not write off everyone. You've got to pay attention. I mean, you write off heaps of them. But it
But
can
consciously
happen.
think about what you're writing off. So I think there's a couple of things in there for me. If you decide that you will give the apps a go, let me be really clear, and I think you'll agree with this, Chris, there is no shortcut. Like people ring and going, oh, how can I make it less time consuming? You can't,
You can't.
right? You just can't. Like you actually have to invest in it.
Yeah.
You can limit to the extent that you don't get involved
Yeah.
in huge chats with 10 people at a time.
Yep.
You
And
can limit how
also
much you contact.
limit, you know, the age group, or if you're
Yes.
determined to have a person in your area, which is actually a pretty fucking smart idea.
Listen and learn.
Don't fucking have it on when you're in Perth. For me, it was Bumble.
It was Hinge. But I've tried, what have I been on? Bumble, Hinge. I didn't like Tinder, didn't last like 5 minutes on Tinder. And there's another one which is for sort of like queer women wanting to meet other women, which is called Her. But I reckon, honestly, it's so the feedback's so variable.
Yeah, it
Like it
is.
depends who you
It
are
really does. It
and
really
what you
does.
like.
And how much you can tolerate. Like, it does become disheartening. I mean, everyone talks about having the apps, deleting the apps, getting back on the apps.
Yes, correct.
Because, yeah, it's a roulette wheel. You're like, ah, better be in it to win it.
I'm going to give her some concrete advice and then you tell me whether it's shit or not. And I invite you to be direct. I would say in her case, 49, single for a long time, clearly got her own life. I would absolutely say join the things, let people know, do all the things we talked about. If you're going to do the apps, allocate yourself 20 minutes a day for messaging, like actually give yourself or a period of time that you think is acceptable, and allocate one night a week to go on dates.
Right.
Personally, when I was doing that, I would say even if I got like one, two, or three dates in, you can do that in a night. If you're not going, like you're not doing dinners,
Right, okay.
right? But if you're
Yeah.
going, I'll meet you for a coffee or I'll meet you for a drink or something
Yep.
if you're time poor, but give it one night a week. Don't do multiples or you'll get
Right.
burned out
Yeah.
and disheartened. And I guarantee you, if you are going on a date a week, or two dates a week, you won't be, this sounds really harsh, but I think it's true. You won't be as heartbroken if it doesn't work out. Because one
Yeah.
good thing about numbers is that you learn to weather it.
Yeah, true, true, true. I think
And
you're
you
spot
start
on
to
there.
go, oh yeah, it doesn't work out. Like it's not for them, it's not for me. Like it's not about a rejection of you. Didn't work out.
Yeah, I think you're right. It gives you that resilience,
Yeah.
sort of battle hardened. I think it's good to set a time limit because fuck, we
I
love a
think so.
deadline.
Yeah.
You know,
Give
why
it a
not?
put a timer
Yeah,
on.
put it in as a task. It's a to-do, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
So you don't get caught up because I'm sure you would have done this and I definitely did it. Sometimes if I was particularly lonely, I'd hours, mate.
Oh no.
And you can talk a thing to death.
Oh.
You can kill it by over messaging
Oh,
and
but even I mean, you were clearly like blokes aren't. I don't know. I wasn't into messaging very much. You know, I was
yeah,
like,
right.
I
Maybe
was
if
just
it's
like,
lesbos.
yeah. That's I think
Could
that's the
be.
dynamic
Could
difference.
be.
But I definitely was more like quick chat than meet because I didn't want to faff about. I you know, get it done. Are they any good? No.
I think that's actually very wise.
I think
It's
meeting soon is a very good idea. If you think there's enough green flags or whatever,
Yep.
then get on with it. Don't mess about. It won't get easier, you know, with
No.
time. It doesn't get easier waiting.
No, it doesn't. And you're not going to probably ascertain much more. So there's a couple of options. I think Steve Allen, who was on, he said sort of 6 to 10 messages, then meet up. I had someone else who was on who went, I always do a FaceTime call before I basically go to the trouble of leaving
Yes,
the house and meeting up.
a friend said to do that. Yep.
I personally wouldn't like that. Like I want to see
Feels
someone
awkward.
face to face, and I like people regardless. So I'm kind of okay even if the date's shit, if you know what I mean. Like
Right.
I kind of like people. So I'm when I say that, I don't mean in a Pollyanna sense. I mean I'm fascinated. So either way, I'll walk away going, "Oh wow, that was wild." But yeah, call it quick and put time limits on it.
Be decisive.
Be decisive. Have your little list. Don't make it 50 things long, but
No.
have a vision of what you're looking for.
And I think too, the risk too is if you've been single for a long time, you can become, used to getting exactly what you want, and you think that
Oh,
everything
yeah.
can be ordered online, just like
Yeah.
a
And
meal
it can't.
or groceries, and it can't. A
That's
person
why I
is a
say,
person.
don't make your list too long. Because if you're going this income bracket, they have to look like this. Their age has to be this exactly. They have to wear these things. Like, off you fuck. You're protecting yourself.
I know, that's right.
Nah, mine would be like, do you know your attachment style? How do I
Vibe
feel around you?
check.
You know, how's my nervous system when I'm around you? Are you fun?
Do you ask questions?
Do you ask questions? Can we flirt? You know, like
Is it a
those
fun
kinds of,
vibe? Yeah.
are you warm?
It's true, I read, I'm always reading bullshit on Instagram. And one of the things I've read recently was about like successful relationships have a sense of fun. You have a sense
Yes, play.
like play with that person. It's
Yeah.
a playful energy and it feels
Yeah.
good to be together,
Yeah.
And
Even though it's, I know it's a despicable show, but having despicable tastes, I have been watching Married at First Sight. And one of the things that I really notice, the probably the only positive out of that show is when you see different couples, even if it is manufactured, you're still seeing stories of relationships. And the ones where you have hope, where I have hope for them, is if there's play, right? If there's a lightness to it. Not all the time. You can't exist in that space all the time. But you know, when you're around couples where it's just fucking heavy all the time.
Oh, yeah, I'm not up for
Everything's an excavation. Everything's a challenge.
it.
I've been on dates like that. I'm sure you have. Maybe you haven't. I had definitely have. Where you're like, I feel tested. You know, is this the HSC?
Oh
Like,
my
am I trying to
God.
get into uni? Like,
Oh my God. I'm more likely to feel bored. That's probably the thing that
oh,
happens
there's that
more.
too.
Yeah, but
Yeah.
not now. Not
Not
now.
now. One
Not
thing I would say with boredom, though, if I can,
now.
put in a little challenge, just be wary of thinking someone nice is boring. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to our caller. Because you can be, if you're
Oh
used to
no. I love
chaos,
nice people. I love not. No, I
no,
hate
you're good with
chaos.
this.
No, I
No, I
love
know.
nice people.
But
They're
there's
the
plenty of
best.
listeners, and I can tell because they write in and they call in. And you can get into a habit of thinking what passion is chaos. You know, that when we talk about like your tummy butterflies or your fanny flutters, that it's fucking chaos. Your nervous system shouldn't feel shot all the
That's not
time.
right. No, I'm talking the boredom I'm speaking of is like just a lack of shared values or interests, or
Yeah,
perhaps a
questions.
very lack of asking questions, or perhaps like a inability to laugh
Yes,
at
at
much,
yourself.
at yourself. I like self-deprecation
Yeah, a little
and
bit.
awareness.
Yeah, same. Same.
It's boring if someone is just talking about
Oh.
stuff that you
And a
don't.
cheeky flirt. Like, I got to have a bit of a cheeky flirt. Like, there's got to be a little bit of something, something.
There has to be a bit of something.
You know, bit of something.
But it's interesting, like with this current, like, well, this current, my partner,
Yeah.
he and I didn't meet for 3 months, so we were just messaging
Yeah.
for 3 months and got to know
Wow.
each other before we met, last year.
Yeah.
And so there was no, date.
You
There was no
couldn't.
dating.
Yeah.
It
Yeah,
was just
yeah.
like, oh, we're going to spend the next 5 days together.
Wow.
And that was that.
And that could go one of two ways. That could be the best 5 days of your life, or you
or
could want to
day
double
one,
up
you
as
could be like,
boom.
oh, I've made a big mistake here.
Yeah.
I've got this wrong.
I reckon, look, you've called in to the podcast for a reason. I think you want a date.
I
going
think
back
she
to
does
our
too.
caller. So don't give up on it. Like, I get it. If you're, when you're in those moments of fatigue, particularly if you're feeling particularly cynical, if you're going to go, going back to that gig thing, if you're going to go in hostile, don't do
Don't
it.
Go. Just don't go.
Right? Don't go. But if you can get yourself into a space where you go, well, either way, I'm probably going to have a nice chat with someone.
Absolutely.
Then get back on the apps, limit the time, give yourself, you might even say one night a fortnight. You don't even have to do it weekly. Like, it's not a bloody, there's no time limit. We've got people calling in their 60s and 70s who are starting dating.
Wow.
You don't have to rush it, right? So don't put so much pressure on it, and definitely let everybody you know that you're
know
single
that you're
and
looking.
Looking and what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And not too much info. You might go, I'm looking for a man between 50 and 60 who's got a job. I don't know what your criteria is. You'll know for yourself.
Fancy.
Fancy. Oh, my God, employed. What? Who lives in this city.
Oh, well.
Good
she's
luck.
Picky.
Oh, picky, I know. Bloody, I'll get that off your list. I hope you call back in and I'll get Chris back on and let us know how you go. Because I'd like to know. All right. Have you got time for a listener letter?
Yep.
Oof. I feel you're gonna have firm views on this, my love. All right, dear Nellie, I'm nearly 40. I've been with my husband since I was 20. We have 3 children. I love him deeply. I can't imagine navigating life and parenthood with anyone else. But the thought of him being the only person I'll ever have sex with or even kiss in my adult life makes me feel like I'm missing out on the butterflies, aka fanny flutters, and excitement. I've been with 2 other men before him, but I was, 19 or 20 and certainly not confident enough in myself or my body to really enjoy those relationships sexually. My husband is fiercely monogamous and emotionally loyal. I've gotten older, society's evolved, my views on monogamy and my relationship values have changed. While I'm not interested in opening our relationship up to others, I genuinely don't have issues if my husband wanted to flirt or sleep with someone else. Let's put a pin in that, Chris Ryan, particularly as he travels a lot. My only caveat is that I wouldn't want to know that it happened. I've tried having the ethical non-monogamy talk with him and starting conversations about how society is changing and how our children will grow up, et cetera, but it didn't go well. I'm paraphrasing, he basically doesn't want to be with anyone else and doesn't want to consider it. I would never leave our relationship over this, but how do I reconcile someone else's values and expectations of me while trying to live true to my own self? Chris Ryan, go.
I have a lot to say.
I know you do. Go for it.
This is a very confusing letter from a very confused person.
Mm.
In my view, and I'm happy to be completely wrong, but here's my take, my hot take in 5 seconds. Not only does she not know what she wants, but the lack of that knowledge could destroy her life and relationship.
Woof, tell me.
Well, having quite a few bets each way and not coming out saying I want to root other people, okay? Now, let's have a look at the idea of I want to root other people, if that's in fact what she's getting at.
Yeah.
But can't admit it because it feels too scary and she's tried to, for some reason, speak to her husband about this open thing, but she says she still doesn't want to, I don't know where she's at. But he definitely feels uncomfortable. And the fact that she opens it up to him by saying, but you can root other people, just don't tell. All of this says to me, I want to destroy this relationship. Now, she's either already having an affair or she wants to.
Wow. That's your hot take.
She's got someone in her sights.
You think there's like someone's lined
because
up?
Nobody jumps a relationship. Well, hardly anyone jumps out of a relationship without and says those sorts of things without having a picture in their head of who they're going to.
All right, let me devil's advocate it. I'm not saying you're wrong. What I am questioning, though, is the one I agree there's a lot of confusion, particularly in the when she says, I'm not interested in opening our relationship, but it's okay if he fucks around. That is a contradiction in terms.
Yeah.
That's the bit that got me. What I will say, though, this is someone who has been with the same person since the age of 19.
Yep.
I could fully imagine someone in their 40s or 50s going, having that kind of realization of, fuck, I will never get to explore this side of myself with anyone else.
Do you know what I have to say to that?
Yeah.
Cry me a fucking river. You made a fucking decision. Seriously.
Wow.
Seriously. It's bullshit.
So you've got no compassion for that.
It's no, I don't. No, grow up. Grow up. Make a choice. You do not get to take that choice out of someone else's life. So do not make out like you are a victim here. You fucking walked into this.
Yeah.
You chose it. You've lived it. Now suddenly you're horny and it's too hard to have the conversations and do the work.
Mm.
What you're heading for is a divorce or an affair.
All right, let me put this to you though. If we pull back historically, like let's say she's been with this guy for 30 years. When we all agreed that marriage was a reasonable thing to do, we wouldn't have lived this long, Chris, right? I'm playing devil's advocate here. The idea that you would have a monogamous sexual relationship with someone, not just for 10 or 20 years, but 30, 40, 50, 60 years, is a very modern phenomenon. And maybe it's an unrealistic one.
I still don't give a fuck.
You're still going, fuck it, grow
no,
up.
I don't care.
Just write
grow
your
up,
husband.
Make a choice. You either fix the relationship or you get the fuck out of it, but you better be decisive, because dragging someone along while you're all like, poor me, I'm horny. I find that to be deeply flawed and deeply selfish.
So your concern, and tell me if I'm wrong, your worry, which I think is a very interesting take, is that he really gets burnt in this process.
Oh, he's going to get burnt. He'll be destroyed.
So if you're right and she actually wants to have an affair, for example, but she's trying to tell herself with modern language and therapy speak, what I want to do is just a modern thing, and that he's going to get fucked over and that she should just get divorced.
But not only that, she's also lying to herself, to him, by saying, you can fuck other people. Like that's somehow something he wants. Has he asked for this?
Yes.
I mean, we don't know his side of this, and and perhaps she hasn't told us the full picture. Maybe she suspects he's having an affair. Maybe, who knows, okay? But the truth is, this whole idea of, hey, you know what, let's just open it up.
Yeah.
Do you know what happens after you open up a relationship after fucking 30 years with someone?
Mm.
It falls apart.
Not always, but
mostly.
Mostly.
How many 80-year-olds are getting about going, you know what, we opened it up. It worked out for us. We're loving it. Bullshit.
You know what? Where I 100% agree, I'm less strident on some of the areas than you, but where I 100% agree with you and where I will push back on the letter writer, what I really object to, and I see this on a range of issues, is her kind of going, oh, he can totally do it if he wants. What you're saying is you want him to do it
so that you can wash your hands of it. Yeah. Totally.
Right. And I see people do that with even waiting for someone, at like making a relationship so shit that the other one calls the divorce.
Fully.
And then they go, oh God, he left me. Mm-hmm. Or she left me. Mm. Right. That bit I really object to.
I know. I don't say this in a vacuum. Okay. I've been in a long relationship that I definitely contributed heavily to fucking up.
Yeah.
And so it's not that I say this out of ignorance. I say it because I'm very well aware of these sorts of signals.
Yeah.
And I think it's a very slippery, I don't want to say slippery slope. Heggie has a joke about that.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's very funny. I think it is a dangerous path to start talking in this way. And I think you need to sit down and journal and have a really fucking good look at what it is that you want and have a look at what's going to happen. Because if you really think getting some orgasms from someone else,
getting some
is gonna give you what you want in life, you're fucking wrong. What you're actually looking for is that deep connection. Well, I mean, hey, unless you want a divorce, if what you actually are looking for is good sex and a sustainable relationship with the person that you've chosen to be with for many years, you've got to do the work on that. It's,
yes.
And it's not about bringing other people in. It's about doing the work on that, seeing each other again as the people that you were, allowing each other to be exciting, you know, having the difficult, hideous discussions of pain, you know, and forgiving each other for all the sins that you've done to each other over the many decades, whatever. You know, these are fucking hard things to do.
Sitting in the shit.
Really hard work. And I can understand why everyone wants to go, oh, let's just open it up and maybe if we all have sex with someone else, we're going to be happy again. Fucking watch it fall apart.
Look, I mean, this is the reason I love you is because you don't fuck around in either sense, apparently. But what I will say, I've got a slightly different view. I totally agree with you on some points. On others, I think it is reasonable to question the scripts that we've been handed. And one of those is that you stay with the same person. I will put my cards on the table. I couldn't do non-monogamy. And I mean, I do jokes about it. I'm like, I, you know, one person's enough work and I'm already confused and all that. I, you know, I'm not even joking. I know I couldn't do it. Having said that, I have seen it work. I have seen
great,
it work.
Great. And but that's not the relationship this woman's in, okay?
No, I guess that is not.
What I'm saying is do it with integrity.
Yes,
be intention. Be clear on
and
what
integrity.
You want.
Yeah.
Do not throw a bone to your husband being like, why don't you just go on ahead and screw
No,
something?
I agree. Yeah,
you know, that's just so lazy.
Yeah.
And
he
it's
hasn't.
Intellectually unrigorous, if that's a word.
He
know?
Hasn't given you any indication that he wants to do that. In fact, he's giving you the opposite. And can I just on a basic level go, he said no. Like, believe
True.
Him, end of story, right?
No is no.
So at this point, speaking directly to the letter writer, at this point he said no, stop going back in. He's made it very clear that he doesn't want that. You have a decision to make. Are
that's
you
it.
Prepared
that's it.
To give up the grass is greener, or do you want to end your marriage? Don't fuck around.
It's true.
End it and go fuck around, or don't and work on the relationship.
And I say too that if your worldview is that eventually a relationship dies and you just keep going on to the next one? Like, at what point do you decide actually I am responsible for lighting the fire back in my relationship? So is my partner. You know, and sure, if you both decide that's not going to happen, that's fine. But don't pretend that it's their fault or your fault or the fault of the world. You're actually fucking responsible for your relationship.
I know. Here's an idea, and I mean this sincerely. What if she goes to him and says, in a nice way and a considerate way, this is how I'm feeling. Like, I feel like the passion's gone from our relationship, or I need something else. What do you think we can do? Because it's not all on you either, as the letter writer.
True.
To fix all this.
True. And
right?
And it does sound like it is painful because
yes,
the fact that she's even writing this means that
yeah.
she feels empty and not loved in the way that she wants to be loved right now. And, of course, we all deserve love.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Tackle it together.
I think that's a great conversation to have, and I reckon he would welcome it.
Yeah.
If it were brought in the right spirit, not if it was brought in a trap.
No.
Whereby you fall into the trap and therefore we get divorced. That's
I mean, you go, let's say it's you and I, because again, I just find that's easier than externalizing. So let's go, you and I have been together for 30 years. And I go, Chris, I love you. This, I want to make this work. This is how I'm feeling though, and I don't know what to do. Do you have any ideas? Can we work on this together? What do you think? I don't want to be right. I don't want to be wrong. I don't, I'm not judging. It's not your fault. It's not my fault. It's just where I am. What do you think?
I would also want to hear at the start of that, I love you deeply. I have loved my life with you.
Yeah.
And
whatever. You're worth it, all that stuff.
I respect you
yes.
enough to have this difficult conversation.
Yes.
Because I owe you that respect.
Can
but
I
also,
also
yeah.
Can I just say to the letter writer as well, and this is an interesting, it's a hard balancing act, this one, because there's plenty of people who ring into the podcast and or have experienced this. There can be a delightful sexual awakening from the end of a long-term relationship and going back into dating. There can also be an absolute shit show and series of disappointments. There can also be a lot of, fuck, I thought this would be more fun.
Bloody oath.
And you'd want to be really careful about throwing away someone that it sounds like you love as much as you do love your husband for the idea that you're going to have a 50 Shades of Grey series of romances.
Yeah, it's a fucking big dice to roll.
It really is.
And there's probably heaps of other people involved too, you know, like kids maybe, and there's costs. And it's not just about that though. It's about the idea that they're worth it. Did you make a commitment, you know? Did you make a commitment?
I think, I agree with you, except I will say you can undo a commitment.
But you be decisive. Be decisive.
Yeah.
Don't pretend.
Drag him along.
Yeah, don't pretend. Tell the truth. Be brave.
Yourself.
Because only through the truth are you going to get what you want for you and your partner. And it can be, I was also going to say when you said, you know, the end of a relationship can mean like an exciting new chapter in your sex life or whatever. Also, having a difficult conversation and choosing to walk together through that brave new world can also reinvigorate a sex life.
Completely
that
agree.
Become dormant. It's become so common that long-term relationships have dead bedrooms that there's actually the phrase dead bedroom now.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why people like Esther Perel and that, you know, are talking about this stuff so much, you know, about like reinvigorating things and how to get that spark back and all of that. And I think what happens is most people just go, we can't. It's gone.
And you know what? Where I 100% agree with you, Chris, is that these days in 2024, different thing if it was 1974, 2024, we have so many more resources. You have your Esther Perels. There's a whole range of resources. There's fucking sex toys, for Christ's sake, that wouldn't have been available. I mean, that's even just on a pragmatic level.
Yeah.
There are resources. The conversations are hard, but nowhere near as hard as divorce. I'll give you that tip.
Oh, mate.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you still love this man, and I think you do, then have the conversations and try these things would be my direct advice.
Fully, and be brave, because it's going to be hard. But it's so much, you'll thank yourself for having integrity.
Yeah.
Because you must live within your values. And I imagine this woman doesn't want to lie.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. All right, we're going to end on big mistake. We're going to do it quite quickly, though. What do you think for you, Chris Ryan, at this age? What are you now, 50, 51, 50?
Turning 51 in October.
What is the biggest mistake that you see in modern dating and relationships?
I think it all comes back to that lack of compromise, that idea that you're going to immediately find this perfect human being that's going to agree with everything you fucking say or love every shitty bit about you and not say anything, or whatever it is that your ego and bad parts, you know, wish that they could get away with. It's, I guess, maybe lack of responsibility for your own shit.
So would that be something like, you know, when we hear like a challenge to that idea of, oh, they don't make me happy. Well, it's on you to
make
yourself happy.
It's actually
your job
to make you happy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting, actually, Chris, because I, even though I agree with you, I also think for lots of sociocultural and political reasons, we've compromised too much. Like, if I'm honest, particularly as women, that where we've put our own needs second for decades and decades. It's only really been in the last couple of decades with no-fault divorce that women have started to kind of go, actually, I'm not prepared to live in a loveless marriage or be a slave or whatever it is. But I also know exactly what you're talking about. In the age of like late capitalism and Instagram and fucking likes and da-da-da, it's like, and apps.
Yep.
Like this idea that you can Uber Eats up a partner.
Yep.
And that they'll be perfect and you're perfect is absolute bullshit.
Yeah. Nothing
somewhere in the
worthwhile
middle
comes easy.
Ugh.
And the
Why?
Hardest thing, and the hardest thing to do is often the right thing to do. A friend's dad used to tell her that, and she told me that. And I think it's true, unfortunately. We have to do the work.
You know what? We're going full circle back to the conversation about challenge. Those conversations with friends, or if you see behaviour that you find completely unacceptable, that shit is hard.
Oh, it's hard.
Like to go in and challenge and kind of go, you know what? I don't accept that. That is hard, but it's also the right thing to do.
Fuck.
Or nothing changes.
Yeah.
You know, one of our mutual friends that I won't name, but, you know, a comedian, gay comedian mate of ours posted on Instagram the other day that he was walking down the street and a guy ripped his shirt and punched him in the face and called him the F word. Right? So if you're going to sit at a dinner table and hear someone talking about gay men like that and say nothing, you're part of the continuum of that problem.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Mm.
It's hard to get involved in that and challenge. But we have to.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know.
I think you're right. Hard shit is the right thing often. You know, otherwise it's not a sacrifice otherwise, hey?
Well, those hard conversations, like the writer, the letter writer.
Yeah, yeah, know? That's
having
right.
Having that hard conversation is the only way through it.
God, you see that in parenting. Jesus. All right, you're coming back on Thirsty Thirds and we're going to get back into that. You are a delight. I love your update. I understand all the pragmatic caveats.
Very the cute little.
But
picture.
Look at you with your little strip of photos. So adorable. I'm so happy for you. And can I say, and I don't mean this in a negative way, regardless of what happens, I'm happy for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I am too. No,
no
I mean,
guts,
I'd be
no
happy
glory.
It happens the way I want it to happen. But anyway, yeah, I mean, we always want what we want.
I'm hopeful.
I'm hopeful too.
It'll take some doing. But nothing worth doing comes easy, someone just told me.
I know, I hear this. I have heard this. What
now
a delight it is to speak
I will
to you,
put,
Nellie.
Always with you. Let me say I will put a link to your show, all your shows coming up in the show notes, but also I'm going to remind you to send me a little video to put on my social media to plug your comedy festival shows.
Thank you, darling.
And I will see you soon for Thirsty Thirds.
Can't wait.
Thank you, beautiful. See you,
Thank
Dale.
You.
Bye.
Dear Nelly, I could use some advice, dear Nelly. Yes, yeah, some help would be nice, dear Nelly. I'm eager to hear your point of view, dear Nelly. There's a lot to explore, dear Nelly. When you're 40 or more, dear Nelly. So I'm hoping we can talk it through.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Miles, thanks for listening to Dear Nelly. Don't be shy. I'd love to hear your questions and comments. To send me like a voicemail recording or an email or whatever, go to dearnellypodcast.com and follow the links and you might just hear me talk about your question or comment or thought bubble in a future episode. Huge thanks to producer Sam Peterson from the Producer Boy Creative Production team and to producer Faye Younger, who in addition to being an excellent producer, is also a brilliant real estate buyer's advocate and can be found at youngerhill.com. Thanks to Acast and all the team, and mostly thank you to you. Without the listeners, I'm just a middle-aged mole talking shit to no one in the ether. Love yous!